You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
And we have actually made it to the final hour. Yes, thank you. Welcome to the show if you're just getting off work or just joining us. And back to the calls we go, and I-Man is next.
Live from the capital city. How are you doing, Paul?
Hey there.
I see that the advocate for the socially dysfunctional has come in and made a case today. And then, Jeff, I mean, you are on the phone. It's not like you're having to holler from Ohio to Charlotte. I mean, use the phone. And was that a Jim call or was that a Jeff call? Because it certainly sounded like a Jim call.
Well, you ever remember when you were younger, you would sponsor somebody maybe to go to camp or to, that call was underwritten by the please save the fading career of Jim, formerly known as Page 54.
Yeah, Page 54. And you know what's the problem with Page 54? Page 55.
Yes, indeed.
you know, and for Jeff to throw me in the group with Squirrel, I take that as an honor. Squirrel is his own human being, his own man. He makes his own calls. He ridicules me sometimes. He doesn't stand up and protect me. He doesn't come in to try to save my feelings or anything. He is an independent person having his own telephone call, unlike that call that Jeff just had.
And you know something?
And
I have met Squirrel many I'd say four or five times. I've met you dozens of times. The other two never seem to be anywhere near when we are in the community.
When it's convenient for them. Kind of like the Legend call the other day. When Legend's down and out, and he's done this over the years, he brings up his murder conviction, and I called him out on this 8-9 years ago about dragging that dead boy around. And Legend makes everything about him, and it's all warm and fuzzy, and look what I've come through, and look what I've done for myself. I'm pleading to the masses. And he gets down on his hands and knees, and he begs in the most pathetic way that we see some of these TV evangelists.
Man, hold on one second. I mean, you would have to agree, would you not, that a guy that went to jail for murder one is not a normal, everyday sports call-in caller. I mean, he has a unique story to tell.
You know what, Paul? I've known a lot of people who've gone to prison, and some for the same situations, kind of involving the death of another person.
Okay.
And not one of them acts like Legend. Legend drags that dead guy around. He's never apologized to the family. He won't even say that man's name on the air.
Well,
that guy would have had a wife. He would have had children.
You're forcing me to be the defense attorney for Legend. I know the circumstances that led Legend to kill another man. And there were some mitigating circumstances which created.
Of course,
he just did not walk into a bar, pull out a handgun, put it up against somebody's temple, and blow the guy away.
No. You don't have to take up for him, Paul.
You have now put me in position of defending somebody who went to jail for murder. That's not really where I wanted to go. I'm just trying to give. I have heard Legend's version of this story, and it would probably serve you.
Heard Legend's version. Is that correct?
I mean, with all due respect, it's kind of hard to get the other guy's version.
No. You've heard Legend's version. And I'm sure there's a little bit more to it than Legend's version. I mean, we're talking about a guy that could have had a wife, kids, grandkids by now.
Yeah,
and Legend is all about himself. and he's all about he's all about positioning himself to the right time in his time of need, as opposed to just picking himself up like everybody else has to and go on about the business. The biggest problem I have with this whole thing with Legend, he uses your show for a fraud format, and that pisses me off. Because this show does so much for so many other people, and they've called in and given testimonies what this show has done for them. And he uses this format for his own personal, selfish, convoluted needs. And they're fraudulent. Have a good day.
Thank you. Thank you, Ahmed. Sometimes you really can't believe some of the things that come out of your own mouth. Wayne is up next. Hello, Wayne.
Hey, Paul, thanks for having me on the show, and I appreciate you putting me on after I'm in. I don't know what to say.
None of us do.
I had a couple of questions I was going to ask about the portal transfer and the extended playoffs, but that done got talked about enough. So I've got one other thing. While I was watching, I want to say something about Nick Saban and Bobby Bowden. I'm seeing where somebody tweeted in that Bobby Bowden passed away. So I want to say prayers to
his
family.
Yeah, he died about 2 months ago or 3 months ago.
Okay, was he the oldest college football coach, head coach in college football?
I think Paterno may have been older. He's the oldest to ever win a national championship he is the oldest to ever win a national championship. Saban may have been older had he won this time, but they were both 70. Bobby was 70, Saban was 69.
Okay, so Paterno, what was his oldest age on his last coaching year?
I believe he was in his early 80s. I'd have to double check.
Okay, well, here's what I want to say to all of the SEC haters and Bama haters. And I know you've seen these posts where they, before the championship game, and hats off for both teams. Georgia, you did well, so proud for you. And Alabama, you did too. But I've seen rumors where they was talking about Coach Saban probably retiring after this year. That's wishful thinking, I think. And then somebody come on earlier on your show, I guess, and they were showing all the championships and everything Saban did and what else could he do. Well, here's what I'm going to project. I think Nick Saban is going to keep coaching till he's the oldest coach in college history to win a national championship. So what do you think about that? And thanks for having me on.
Yeah, well, I think that's entirely possible. And if he wins it next year, he will be the oldest coach. I don't know if that motivates Nick Saban. I think Nick Saban is one of these people that just hits the reset button every year. He doesn't get hung up on, well, maybe he does get hung up a little bit on legacy. I think some of his actions lately might indicate that. Let's continue with more phone calls. And Will is in Charlotte. Hello, Will.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
We are doing well. Thank you.
Man, you've really had some clowns on this last hour, haven't you?
I think I would confirm them. I would confirm that report, yes.
Yeah, it's a clown tent everywhere. I agree. Not saying I'm not a clown, but, talking a little Gamecock football, I think you've been taking enough calls from Georgia and Bama guys. I think Bama's here to stay, but, I think Georgia's done here for. I think Beamer Ball's here to stay. You see with the transfer portal, Beal Smith, Rattler, tight end. I just don't see Kirby making those same moves. I don't think anyone really wants to go play for him like Beamer is going to have that effect in the SEC. What do you think?
I appreciate you being a Gamecock fan. Glad to hear it. How about Swami up next? Hey, Swami, go right ahead.
Well, hey, Big Al. Thanks for taking my call, Paul.
Thank you.
You know, Paul, you know the Swami, he often polishes his crystal ball. And, Paul, I was all prepared to visualize that this year's offseason would pale in comparison to last year. I mean, you know, you basically had it easy last year. We had the NIL first and the playoff expansion, then, of course, Oklahoma and Texas. But I got to say, Paul, after this week's listening to the callers this week, this may be the best week in Fine Bomb history.
Yeah, I think usually the show kind of has ups and downs and after the national championship. But this week's been pretty strong.
You know, Paul, like it or not, people love Jeff from Columbus, and I do too. But I got a question, Paul. And I love Iron Man, but why does Iron Man hate Legend so much? I mean, what do you know about all this? And when do you know about it?
I don't know much more than I think we heard. There are some deep-seated feuds that have developed over the years on this program. Thank you very much for the call. Let's check out more callers in a moment at 855-242-7285. Stick around.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
And Squirrel is up next. Good afternoon, Squirrel.
You know, for years and years, I've always said that your show is more entertaining during the off season than it is during the season. And I'll stand by that statement. But a few things. I appreciate you taking my call, first of all. But in the first hour, you had a gentleman from Tennessee. I think his name was Gene. And you mentioned my call the other day where I referenced Johnson City. But he said something about me saying I graduated from East Tennessee State. And I never did. For the record, I never did graduate from East Tennessee State, nor have I ever said that I have. I don't know where he got that from.
Yeah, by the way, provost called from Johnson City.
And Coach Bell was a little ahead of my time when I signed and played for Roy Frazier. And then Roy Frazier got run off after a period of time, and Jack Carlisle came over from Ole Miss. And I went through spring training with Jack, and he kind of let me know my services might be needed elsewhere. You know, that Blue Oyster Cup incident was one reason, I believe. But I moved on from Johnson City. But that Jeff call a little while ago, that call was rehearsed, Paul. Rehearsed with Jim. You know what I'm saying? I would punny that he called Jim and rehearsed that call before he came on air.
Because the dialogue and the narrative is always the same.
It is always the same, but see, Jim puts people up to that. The reason he got cross with me when we were civil for a few months this summer was because I didn't call into Peter Burns and say some contrived stuff that he wanted me to say. And you know, I don't play that game. You know what I mean? So that's why he and I didn't get along too well, and it ended badly for us. But somebody mentioned Joe from Red Bay being your number one caller today, and I want to agree with that. I've always liked Joe from Red Bay, and after that compelling story he told us Tuesday, which was way more believable than the saga from Legend, there's no way that story that Legend told happened the way it did. I don't know the story personally, but just knowing Legend, I know there's no way he told the truth 100%. I just know it's not true. So, but Joe is believable. 7 stabs versus 1 stab, you would always go with the guy with the 7 stabs, if for no other reason than that. Do you agree?
Yeah. I mean, I think, did Legend say that he was stabbed in the back, or the shoulder, with a screwdriver?
He blacked out and about bled to death. Now, if he just said he got stabbed in the jugular, okay, I might believe it. And stabbed with a screwdriver, okay, there ain't a lot of screwdrivers running around prisons. You know, there's other things they make shanks with. So, again, there was all kinds of holes in the story.
Squirrel, not to sound like the ombudsman of the show, I'm the host, but... He said the screwdriver had been chiseled down to like
I'm not doubting that. Okay. I'm not doubting it's that you're stabbed with a sharp instrument. That's what prisoners do.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying that there's not a lot of screwdrivers laying around prison. You know what I mean? They don't leave tools laying around there, it's my understanding. And so I really doubt that story right there. And you're stabbed in the shirt. I mean, if you're an OG, you're supposed to take like 3 or 4 stab wounds and keep fighting the way I would believe. I mean, one stab and you go down and black out and then smash you on the car and wheel you to the front. I'm just not buying it, Paul. Now, you can buy it if you want to. I mean, he's your buddy.
Well, Squirrel, it just shows you how gullible I am. I bought it completely.
Gullible,
I mean, I told the guys the next day. I said, man, that's one of the great stories I've ever heard.
Everybody, Paul. You see the good in everybody, and you always give people the benefit of the doubt. And on Martin Luther King Day, I would suggest you play that story from Legend, just like you do that other call.
Well, we thought next year that we play them back to back.
I mean, I want you to look at the very end of his saga. If you remember, he took a shot at me. Right there, his last sentence was about Squirrel, unfortunately. Edit that out when you play it every year, if you don't mind. But I wish you would play it with that Vietnam gentleman. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you. Yeah, no, it's. I know some of you, I'm not trying to suggest this is like a soap opera, but this was the other day when we had Legend and Joe from Red Bay back to back. Joe, good afternoon.
How's it going, Paul Feinbaum?
I've heard a lot of compliments of your call the other day and the honesty and the sincerity that you put into it.
Well, I mean that's a time in the past that happened, you know, years ago. And, you know, I'll be honest, it was tough living, you know, beyond that for the first several years. And I worked every job I could with as much overtime as I could just to keep my mind occupied. And finally, you know, it just got easier. Next thing I know, 10 years turned into 20 years and then 30 years down the road later, you know. And I don't think Legend's out there, like I man said, trying to put something out there just to try to promote him. Because I think some things is good for people to, you know, it's better to wake up without having to go through that kind of ordeal. And because it ain't a nice place.
Yeah, you know, I don't know, Joe. I was appreciative of your story. I didn't intend for you to do it, but I don't think people just make up stories about prison, do they?
Not unless you're an idiot. You'd have to be a pretty bad idiot to even.
I mean, everyone brags about certain things. You know, in high school, they brag about women, and later they brag about other things. But I've never been around people who say, "Hey, yeah, let me one up your prison story."
Yeah, I just don't know, you know. But hey, I made it through though. You know, good Lord's good. Good Lord's good. But I like Legend, and I think it's a good witness. You know, that anybody can turn their life, you know, around.
And, well, to me, that was, I thought there was a message in Legend's story. I mean, if Joe Osteen had told that story, I would have been glued to my chair. And I was the same way because it was, the story wasn't about, hey, look at me in prison. The story was about how he changed his views on race.
Right. And that's kind of what I was talking about when I've got, you know, made up pretty bad in there by some people that was other race than me, but I still don't hold that against other people. And I think this is a good way to demonstrate, you know, because, you know, Martin Luther King, he got assaulted a lot of times.
Oh, sure.
And he still didn't hate the other person. Yeah, I mean, you hate the person that does it, but you don't put the whole categorize of a whole group of people as they're all that way. And they're not. And that's kind of like what I was saying too. And you know, it's, you can overcome hate. I mean, but you got to want your head and in your heart. But he don't like any Alabama fan. He don't, and I really don't know why he don't like Legend. Well, I do know why, because Legend's, you know, Alabama fan. And Squirrel's a good guy. I enjoyed the time I did meet Squirrel. And I think he's a good dude. And I like Jim and Jeff. I think Jeff in Ohio, he probably just memorized. I think he looked at the playbook, something Jim may have said 10, 20 years ago, and he just copied it down and changed a few words in it and just read off of Jim's speech.
Well, Joe, thanks again for sharing your story and for being so transparent with us. So you take care of yourself. Corky is up next. Hey, Corky.
Hey, what's up, Paul?
We're doing well. Thank you.
I want to call just to come to the defense of legend. You was talking about people being to prison and bragging about stories. Well, I did 15 years in a federal prison, and I was stabbed 3 times. So I don't think the dude is making fun of nobody or trying to boast. I think that probably actually did happen to him. I just think a lot of the callers probably just jealous that this dude have been through that much stuff and just trying to take him down.
Yeah, Corky, first of all, I mean, I'm not an expert on I've been to a number of prisons before, but interviewing people and doing other things. But I don't think people come out of prison and embellish what happened there, do they?
No, they don't. Anybody who do that is just anybody who come out and do that really didn't go through that. I was at like a USP, which is one of the worst prisons you can have, and the stories he tell, I can tell that he's really been through it. There ain't nothing you can just make up.
How long have you been on the outside, Corky?
I told you, I got out in 2015, and I started calling you.
Well, that's right.
I was locked up, and I've been listening to you from 2001 to now in prison.
You know, tell me that, because I've talked to various people, and years ago we were very close to taking the show to a prison, because I was passionate about it. I kept hearing from a lot of prisoners. How easy is it to listen to a show like this in prison, or how difficult is it?
Well, long as you don't get in no fights, it's real easy, because we control the prison as far as what we want, because they don't want to start no trouble.
Right.
And I'm gonna tell you this: I was in Florida the last time. You are so loved that we will pick you over watching anything other than probably Dallas Cowboys play somebody, but you're that big. No, you're that big in prison. And where I was at in Florida is the SEC network, even though I'm a Notre Dame fan, but I'd rather watch the SEC network than watch Notre Dame.
So you got the SEC network in prison?
Yeah, got everything in prison, but the Paul Feinbaum was on our radio.
Okay,
I couldn't
radio.
Get nothing from Texas. But now I listen to you more than I listen to even regular TV, man.
Well, that means a great deal.
You kept us so entertained. It's like your callers, of course, Tammy and all those people. You just kept us so entertained that you had prisoners walking around talking about the Paul Feinbaum show. And, dude, when you get out, could you send a shout out to me? I have guys in there that have life in prison. Could you just mention our name, Mariana, Florida, or Tallahassee, Florida? You know, it was that big, dude. That's why I told you, you mean a lot to a lot of people in there, and that's why you're my favorite.
Well, Corky, thank you very much for saying that. And I will. Do you think when you're in prison, do they ever allow things to come into prison? I know that. Tebow told me that he has been to a number of prisons speaking, but
I'll be 100% with you. I've been out now and hope to never go back. I'll never put myself in that situation again. What you have out here, I've seen in there. So. Yeah, I mean, and for this guy to say no screwdrivers, where I was at, we made certain things so you can get in a department called Unicor that makes stuff. They're screwdrivers. We have to have to take certain things off. So they're screwdrivers in there all day. And I've seen them in the unit 2 days later made out of shanks.
That's amazing.
So they're all screwdrivers. They're easy to get. Anything you get out here other than, I never seen nobody have a gun. But anything you get out here, you can get in there. Drugs, cigarettes, it's all in there. I'm not trying to snitch on nothing, but
no.
It is what it is.
Well, Corky, again, it was great to connect with you. I remember that first time we talked, and we really appreciate what you said, and I'm glad you're doing well. I really am.
Me too. I'm doing real well. Like I told you, I do the French Bulldogs, and the Lord
right,
bless
right.
me. But your show was such a reward to a lot of guys in there that if your show was not on, say somebody had a fight and your show was not on, that guy's, whatever crew he rolls with, is going to be dealt with for not having that show on, because we took it so serious. And that's the honest truth.
That is
you mean a lot to prison, too, especially in the South.
Well, Corky, thank you. I'm going to make it. I'm going to make sure that we do more on that. Hey, you call again soon. We're coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We are back here, and in cell block C, let's check in with Dan in Georgia. Hello, Dan.
Hello, Paul. First-time caller.
Thank you.
Thank you for taking my call. I want you to know that I am an avid watcher of your program and show, and I'm calling because of something you said earlier in the show today. You took a phone call from a guy in Alabama, and I want to think his name was maybe Trey.
Right.
And he brought up something about that if you put all kind of nationalities on a basketball court, and they would learn how to win and play together. And you could do the same thing with a football field. And then he said, what I don't understand is why we can't get our senators and congressmen to come together to help America. And you made a statement, Paul, that will live in my mind forever. You said, well, that's very simple, because they're all frauds. Do you remember it?
I sure do, yes.
I want to tell you that when you said those words, I could have hugged the TV, okay? Because no truer words have ever been spoken, ever, on national television. And to think that you said, I am an employee, I know you're an employee of ESPN, and to hear that come out of your mouth, Paul, made my whole day. And that it made a 72-year-old guy say, I'm going to dial 35 times till I get through to tell Paul how wonderful those words were.
Well, Dan, you and I are both old enough to know that there was a time when you could not make that statement and have it be accurate, that people that served were patriots. They
Absolutely.
Were determined to disagree, but to and now it's and I'm not picking on. I mean, both sides are the same to me. I don't really care.
Yes. I'm a conservative, and I, you know, maybe you'd list me as a Republican or whatever. But there's just as many there to for us to think for one moment that there's anybody in Washington D.C. that has our well-being in
no,
mind.
They don't.
That they went there for that. We got to be the dumbest people alive.
It is tragic to watch what we watch every day. And this is not a new story. I grew up just fixated by politics and government. And that's initially what I wanted to do because I thought
right.
that was an honorable profession. Thank goodness. I was saved because I don't know how. And it, again, it is the system. You know, there are good people that go to Washington. I just don't know what happens to them. Well, I do know what happens to them when they get there.
Yes. I guess you put people into the den of iniquity, whatever that may be, and they somehow they don't come out unburned or unscathed. So I just wanted to tell you, Paul, thank you for those words.
Well, thank you very much,
because those
Dan.
Words need to be reiterated in that, yes, they're all frauds. That's why they can't come together for our well-being.
No.
And
no.
So I just want to say thank you. And also want to say one shout-out to Stetson Bennett. I watched him play all of his high school ball. He's from a great family, a great kid, and we won a national championship. Well, I didn't think I'd live to see two of them.
Well,
but
Dan,
I did.
I'm disappointed that he's not going to law school yet because I want to hire him to represent me. I mean, there's
don't we all? I mean,
can you imagine?
He is so polished. He is so polished. And the thing about it is he is so grounded in his life. He's an amazing young man.
Well, considering how many people, and I don't mean this to sound like, how many people are still benefiting from the 1980 national championship, he has a good life ahead of him.
Oh, yes, yes. And deservedly so.
He sure does. No, nobody's ever earned it more than he has. Well, Dan, thank you very much for the call. Great pleasure to visit with you. John in Dothan, Alabama.
How you doing, my brother?
Man, John, it's been way too long. I feel like, I feel like I know you very well since we've been together a couple of times, but I haven't heard from you in a long time.
You do know me very well. I know you very well. And I miss you very, very much, Paul. Really do.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. I have not been back to Dothan in some time, but that needs to be corrected.
Well, yes, you're exactly right. It does need to be corrected because I'm in my hometown, Paul, of Carrollton, Alabama.
Sure.
You know where that is?
I have a pretty good idea.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I'm happy to be back in my hometown.
So what's going on in your life, John?
Well. Huh? Pardon? I'm so Paul.
What's happening with you? I know the last time we talked or the time before, you'd been through some tough things, but hopefully you are on the right track.
I am on the definitely the right track, Paul. Doing wonderful. Back here with my I have about four grandchildren here that I have to put up with. I love my death. And,
sure.
I'm doing good. But hey, Paul, how's Miss Linda doing?
She is doing great. She really is. If I had half the positive attitude that she does, I would be a success.
Well, Paul, you know damn well you are a success, big time.
But she she's doing great, and like everyone in the medical world, ready to turn the page, but they're not. They obviously we're not quite there yet.
Well, listen, y'all will get there, I guarantee you. And she's a wonderful person, a beautiful person. And I love both of y'all very much, Paul.
Well, John, it was an absolute pleasure to hear from you, and you continue to take care of yourself. And I am going to make a vow to try to see you in the upcoming year.
Take care, Paul.
Thank you, John. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Great to hear from you. What a show. What a wild afternoon this has been. We are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.